today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
They're not driving a Mustang. They're not driving something cool. They're driving a Ford Focus.
Hey there, peoples. This is Jim Lenihan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick Foster is off today, but I have with me a very special guest, Andy Sullivan from the Airport 77s. Now, the Airport 77s are a band hopefully you know because we have featured them on the podcast before, but it's been a couple years, Andy, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Probably 2022 when we put out our last record.
Something like that.
Yeah, I am thrilled to be back, man. You have a really cool podcast, a great community. Hello, people. Thank you for listening.
Yes. You guys played Suburbs Fest a couple years ago. That's when we had you on, and people can go back and listen to that interview, which I have not done. And so if we cover any ground from that interview as well, well, you know, that's just how it is. Okay. What we're going to do here is we're going to talk about the Airport 77's new album, Don't Let Go. It is out on Gem Records. It's their third album, and we are going to go track by track through this record. Let's kick it off here with track one. It's called 1999, Take Me Back.
I got all the rest of my life to figure out what I didn't get right. I got all the rest of my days to figure out how I let you slip away. Take me back to the nights that I never forgot. Cigarettes crushed in a parking lot, singing along with the pop-pop radio. Maybe one more time. Take me back before it all fell apart. On an open heart, take me back to 1999. I got all the rest of my years to figure out.
All right, 1999, Take Me Back. That is a Prince reference, maybe?
Yeah, and I think the idea is, you know, the song 1999 by Prince, obviously, and it's looking forward to this apocalyptic century-ending party. And, you know, I think it's a very sort of Cold War song. It was written as the idea of, like, civilization's coming to an end, but, man, we're going to party first. And so this song sort of looks at it from the other end, like, you know, in one sense, it's a standard mopey breakup song where everything sort of happened on that last night in December 31st, 1999. And then it's been all very sad since. Musically, it's the sort of quiet, intimate verse, explosive chorus, big gratuitous guitar solo at the end. So it's, you know, sort of like an emo power ballad. And I wrote it last summer after seeing a Verdi opera. And, you know, sometimes... Yeah, you'll hear like a little phrase or a musical clip, and sometimes that'll just get your mind going, and you'll chew on that and wrestle with that for a few weeks or months or whatever and come up with something totally new. And so that's how that happened. I think the opera was, there was an aria where somebody was singing Take Me Back because, you know, my husband died or whatever. I thought, oh, that's an interesting line. What can I do with that? Obviously, the song itself sounds nothing like Seven Day.
I didn't peg you for an opera guy. Now, this is interesting to me.
My parents are huge opera fans. We were home visiting them and they took us. Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, classical music was my training. I did a lot of singing. I'm a huge fan of the Verdi Requiem. Opera, mm-hmm. I find a little harder to get into just because there's in a foreign language, you have to learn the story. But Verdi's amazing because he's just such a tunesmith.
Okay, well, this is a great spot to talk a little bit about your music interests, I guess. Speaking of tunesmith, so how would you describe Airport 77's music, and how does that background relate to what you're doing now?
Yeah, the Airport 77s are a power pop band. We fall squarely in that tradition of, you know, My Sharona, you know, Cheap Trick, things like that. We started off in 2014 just as a fun cover band. So we'd play, you know, 8675309, et cetera, and as well as the sort of more obscure nuggets of the genre. You know, we're all really into the Paul Collins beat, 2020, groups like that. And we just sort of played around for fun, and we found that people really like this music. And so we very gradually started writing original material.
In your songwriting, have you always gravitated toward these sort of like short pop songs?
No, I mean, I've done various genres over the years. In my 20s, I was in an alt-country band out of Minneapolis called Steeplejack. You know, those were three-minute songs. Sometimes they stretch out a bit. Then I played bluegrass for a while, then sort of had a project called Dirty Bomb where we made a rock opera about the corrupt lobbyist Jack Abramoff, and then ended up doing this. So to answer your question, yeah, I'd say it's always been, you know, verse, chorus, verse, quick guitar solo, you're out, you know.
Right. Okay, before we get into this next song, let me ask you this. You did not write all of the songs on this new album?
Yeah, correct. For this album, we got a new bass player, a guy named Cal Everett, who is a sort of legend around Washington, D.C. He is an amazing musician, a real gift for melody. He reminds me a lot of Paul McCartney in that he has that sort of instinctive gift for melody. So he joined the band for this record. And when he joined, we said, okay, you live 3 hours away in West Virginia. Is this going to be a problem getting to practice? And he said, no, it'll be fine. I like driving. And it wasn't a problem until eventually it caught up with him. And he's like, you know, I can't do this in a sustainable way. So we had him for this record. For the record release show, we've got a new bass player named Gina Coco. She's fantastic. She lives a little closer. So we're hoping to play out more regularly following this. But so Cal contributed two songs to this record. I guess we're not quite there yet. We could talk about this one now. This is the third song. It's called Anyone But You. And it's a really gorgeous power ballad. And the tension in coming up with this one was, you know, Cal just wants to dive full on to beauty. He wants, you know, lush background harmonies. He wants it to be, you know, it's just as gorgeous as possible. And I was always sort of pushing to dirty it up a little bit. Like, how can we inject a little vinegar into this equation? So this recording, it's almost got like the guitar part sort of reminds me of Photograph by Def Leppard. It's those big, chunky power chords, but with a ton of melody going on.
Anyone who saw me when I'm with you wouldn't have a doubt inside their minds. Anyone who saw the looks I give you would have to believe that you were mine. Anyone who heard me talk about you would hear it clearly in each word I said. Anyone with me when I'm without understand you're living in my head. Anyone who watches, anyone who listens, anyone who's ever been in love, anyone who's heartbeat anyone you love never will love you. And anyone whose heartbeat just kept growing so loud you can't believe she never knew. Anyone who wakes up every morning anyone with the prayer that this might be the day. Anyone who just keeps on ignoring all the signs that point the other way.
So that was song three. We skipped song three.
No, that's okay. Yeah. So the thing I liked about your description that I read for Anyone But You is that you consider it as if it's like on a soundtrack to like an 80s movie, right?
So yeah, Anyone But You, it's almost like that sort of beautiful, tender power ballad that you hear in the pivotal scene of a romantic comedy where, you know, the guy realizes, oh, wait, I've been a jerk.
Do you have personally a big connection to like those like John Hughes soundtracks?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, that was my era, and I sort of instinctively opposed them because I was a teenage snob. But then I secretly liked all this.
All right, let's circle back. Track two was Like Falling in Love, and that to me had, you know, speaking of John Hughes, had sort of a new wave sound.
Yeah, that's a sparer feel. There's a lot of, I'm really proud of the musical textures in this song. If you listen, there's the beat, there's the guitar chords, and then there's a lot of sort of weird little shadowy things happening. And they don't overcome it, but there's, you know, little sort of stutters and blurs and creepy things in the background. Spent a fair amount of time piecing that together. And yeah, I guess it is sort of has a new wave feel. There's a guitar synthesizer on there. The treatment of the drums used what's called a gated snare. And the song is not called Falling in Love. It's called Like Falling in Love. So what are we comparing to falling in love? What is this feeling that is like falling in love? The narrator is talking to somebody or something that makes him feel good. Like, what is this? It's like falling in love.
I like the way that you drip, drip through my arteries. I like the way that you slither up my spine. Time and take a breath. I like the way that you empty out my mind. What's this tingling in my fingertips? What's this poison dripping off my lips? What's this message written in the stars above? It tells me it don't matter if I don't get what I. What's this feeling? Kinda like falling in love. I like the way that you light up every corner of my brain. I like the way that you steal my tapping toes. I like the way that you stop my heart and start it up. What's this poison dripping off my lips? What's this message written in the stars above?
As a songwriter, you know, I notice a lot of these songs are relationship songs, that sort of thing. Is that something that just comes naturally to you as a songwriter, or do you sort of feel like that's the right kind of topics for this type of band?
I'm definitely a storyteller in my songwriting. I'm not a confessional songwriter at all. You know, a lot of people will write, here's what I'm going through in my life. That's definitely not what I do as a songwriter. I sort of think of all of these, there is a character in every single one of these, and that character is definitely not me. and that's fun. You know, it allows you to sort of get into different head spaces. And when you're writing the lyrics, you think, okay, what will this character be doing? You know, you want to make things broadly appealing. You do not want to, you know, I don't want to put bad energy out there into the world. I don't want to write music that makes people feel bad or makes, you know, celebrates bad things. But you definitely want to have some shadows in there to keep things interesting. I think like Falling in Love is a song a bit like that. You know, it makes you sort of question like something's not quite right here. And so, you know, I go for that with a lot of these songs on this record.
Got it.
Yeah, it's definitely you're telling a story.
Well, speaking of telling a story, so the next track we're going to talk about is Make 'Em Pay, Don't Make It Easy. This is very much, you know, a story song, right?
Yeah, this is boy meets girl. They knock over convenience stores all across West Virginia and Western Maryland. He ends up in jail. He goes on a sort of a long political rant. So, you know, I was thinking, wow, this is like The Harder They Come by Jimmy Cliff.
Right. You know, and set in Western Maryland. I love it. That's that's how I would equate with Jamaica, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's like the Jamaica, it's the United States.
Yeah.
I just have always loved that part of the country. It's really evocative and beautiful. And, you know, you have these long bridges and, you know, deep river valleys.
The first time that I saw her, I was summoned for a ride. I was down to my last dollar, down to my last lie. She had a 98 Ford Focus. She had a Jones no pill could fix. She left her baby back in Richmond. She was looking for some kicks. She said, don't make it easy, it's gotta hurt. I'll lose my mind and you'll lose your shirt. We'll make it halfway around the world in a single day. We're gonna make 'em pay.
Couple things about this song. One is I really like this song, and I felt like it had a very strong structure, if that makes sense. Probably mm-hmm. does to you as a songwriter, but there was something about it, just the way the song unfolded, just musically, I thought that really fit nicely with the storytelling.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a three chord song, but it gets louder and it gets quieter, and we sort of tried different textures to keep things moving along. And this was one where, you know, I was talking earlier about how you can't let things go on too long. I'd written way more verses, you know, and so the song was longer. And so then you've got to cut it down. That's too long. So you have to figure out, okay, what can we cut farther? And so there's some of these verses that are cut and you're thinking, okay, did we lose too much of the story? And then you say, well, you know, the listener can make up the gaps in their mind. And, you know, that's the thing about pop songs. They have to be very economical. You can't, you know, you need your details in there, but you, by just necessity, if you're telling a story, you have to leave a lot out.
Right. Next point I want to make here is there's a little bit of rockabilly in the song, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, an up-tempo sort of, I always thought of it as a sort of a punk type song. Rockabilly works too. And that there is, I guess the melody is sort of a more traditional country melody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you set it with a sort of high energy punk track and there you go.
Yeah, there you go. And then the third point I want to make about this song is it mentions a 98 Ford Focus.
Mm-hmm.
So two questions here. One is, or one statement, one question. My first statement is that my wife and I at one point owned a 2000 Ford Focus. So, and I looked it up. I looked it up in 98 was the first model year of that vehicle. You would think by 2000, maybe they worked out some of the kinks, but not the case. It was not a good car for us. Do you have any history with the Ford Focus?
I'm sorry to hear about your automotive experience. Yeah. I have no experience whatsoever with the Ford Focus. It just fit, you know.
It's great. It's classic. It's to think of people driving around on some wild adventure in a Ford Focus. Just, I love it. There's great humor in that, I find.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wanna, I think anybody will get that.
Right. These are not affluent people, you know. And yeah, there's that humor there. You know, they're not driving a Mustang. They're not driving something cool. They're driving a Ford Focus. And so, you know, it fit sort of the lyrically it fit. And then, you know, as in terms of the image and the listener's mind, yet.
Yes. Very good. All right. Let's see here. Next up is Summer Can't Wait. And I know that you have written about summer before, but this is a little bit different, right? This isn't summer as the season.
Right. This is summer as in a character. This, again, was another one that was sort of formed by hearing a fragment. I was swimming at an outdoor pool and the teenage lifeguards had, you know, the radio going. And I, you know, I was doing the crawl and my ear comes out of the water and I just hear this phrase from the radio. Girl, you better act your age. And then bonk, my head into the water. And that was it. And then again, that just sort of got stuck in my mind and turning it over. And you're like, that's an interesting little melodic fragment. That's a semi-cruel statement. You know, what can I do with that? And so the song Summer Can't Wait, there's this guy talking to another person. And he's like, there's this girl, Summer, she's hanging around my porch. She's sitting on my sofa. You know, like, oh, my God, I'm being mean to her, but she won't go away. And then it sort of veers into something else. And musically, again, this one has a bit more space. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's, this is one of those things where you get a little nugget and you kick it around for a while and that's what you end up with.
All right, we're going to end today's episode right there. That is the end of side one. We will turn the record over and pick this up again tomorrow with side two from the Airport 77's new album, Don't Let Go. All right. Thanks very much to Andy Sullivan. I want to tell you real quickly where you can get this record. The best place is to go to Bandcamp. Go to the Airport 77's Bandcamp.com or just go to Bandcamp and search for Airport 77's. And there you will find Don't Let Go along with their other albums. Let's see here. Don't Let Go. You can get the digital album for $9. You can get the vinyl edition for $25, or you can get the CD for $15. Those all sound like good deals considering the quality power pop that you will receive with that purchase. All right. Tune in again tomorrow. We're going to do side two of this record. Thanks for listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan, and we will talk to you then.
Summer's looking for a friend. Do you think we should let her in? She's been camped out on the front porch, rocking back and forth and back and forth. Summer's knocking at the door. Think we've been through this before. You can feel her breath upon your cheek when it's way too hot to fall asleep. But one of these days you're gonna have to face it. Feels so close, you can almost taste it. Get one shot, so you better not waste it. 'Cause summer can't wait forever. No, summer can't wait forever. Summer's hanging around too long. How I wish that she was gone. Always sprawled out on the couch. Yeah, we can't find a way to kick her out. Summer won't leave me alone. Always grabbing. Feels so close, you can almost taste it. Yeah.
personally start writing songs?
When I was about 14 years old, as I think I mentioned, I did a lot of classical singing. I was sort of the star boy soprano, and then my voice changed